Good afternoon. Please may I add my welcome to you all here at St. Helens this lunchtime. As William said, my name's Carl, and it's my pleasure to be with you today as we begin this three-week series on Bible sharing. And we'll start today in John chapter 3, verses 25 to 30. And that passage can be found on page 1071 of the Church Bibles. So please do look it up, and I'll read it. So that's John chapter 3, verses 25 to 30, page 1071, and it's halfway down on the left-hand side. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." So I'm excited to be starting this series on sharing the Bible with those around us, because we should be open and unashamed in talking about sharing the Bible. And we should be unashamed in urging one another to be Bible sharers. Because to know and trust Jesus is the most important and the greatest thing in the world. To see why, please look down at verse 36 of chapter 3. This verse concludes the section our passage is in, and it's at the heart of the Christian message. So I'll read it. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So it's only through belief in Jesus that escape from the wrath of God is available. But Jesus doesn't just offer us escape from wrath, which alone would be incredible. But to those who believe, well, he gives much, much more. The glorious gift of eternal life, which is why knowing Jesus, well, it's both vital and it's wonderful. So if you are here today looking into Christian things, well, actually, I'm so glad you're here with us. And I do hope that seeing this verse helps you see why, well, you should want somebody to share the Bible with you. Because if belief in Jesus is the key, then it makes sense to give him a hearing. And the Bible is where we hear from Jesus, which is why we're spending this time thinking about this vital task of Bible sharing. As we learn today, well, that we can and should share in the ministry of John the Baptist. And to teach us how, well, our passage shows us what his ministry is, and what the motivations are for this ministry. So what is the ministry? Well, our key verse to understanding this is verse 30. Please look down. John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Which shapes our main point today, which is Jesus and his word are so powerful, we must point to Jesus and not to ourselves. Or, if you're a simple insurance person like me, more simply put, we need to get out of the way and allow Jesus to speak. So let's take a look at our passage to find out more. In verse 25, we see that John's disciples and a Jew are engaged in a conversation. And they take it to John the Baptist for clarification. They ask him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing. And all are going to him." So this question that they ask him helps us to see his ministry. Do you see? They say, "To whom you bore witness, all are going to him." So John's ministry was to bear witness to Jesus, to let the world know that God's King was here. And we see, don't we, that he's done a fantastic job, because this question shows us all are going to Jesus. Yet despite this, well, these disciples are still hanging around with John. And the response of John to this question, well, it shows his faithfulness to his ministry. Because in verse 28, he reminds them what his job is again. Please look down. He reminds them he's been clear. He's not the Christ, but was sent before him to bear witness to him. He's so clear saying, I'm not the Christ. My job is to point people to the Christ. And then he clarifies this further in verse 29. He uses the example of the bride, the bridegroom, and the best man, which the Jews at the time, well, they'd understand the meaning of this. In the Bible, God's people are often referred to as the bride. And the bride will be wedded to God's eternal king, who's the bridegroom. So John is clear. Jesus is the eternal king, the bridegroom. And John, well, he's playing the role of best man. And there's no bigger delight for the best man than when the bridegroom shows up. And to know that the bride is with the bridegroom. So it's an astonishing answer to his disciples. He's basically saying to them, what are you still doing here with me? You need to be down the river with Jesus as well. John wants everyone to be with Jesus so that they could hear the bridegroom's voice. Which leads us on to verse 30 and our key verse today. What does successful ministry look like? Well, it looks like John decreasing and Jesus increasing. John's work is done when the bride hears from the bridegroom. So what does John the Baptist and his ministry teach us? Well, I think the point is we can and we should share in the same ministry. We also know the bridegroom and we can point people to him. So how can we share in John's ministry? Well, quite simply, do what John did. Get out of the way and allow Jesus to speak to our colleagues. We must be clear that our colleagues don't need to hear our voice. They need to hear from Jesus, which is why the best thing we can do for them is share the Bible. Bring them straight to Jesus. So it does our colleagues no good if they keep hearing from us, hearing our answers to their questions. We need to show them that Jesus and Jesus alone has all the answers, and they're all in his word. Which is why bringing someone into his word, well, it's the best way for Jesus, for us to decrease, sorry, and Jesus to increase. And I think John the Baptist is so helpful with this, because if anyone might think he merits a following, or might think they could talk somebody into heaven, it'd be John the Baptist. He's had this amazing ministry. He's got his own disciples. He's so impressive, he has to say to people, I'm not the Christ. Yet despite this, John knows he can't save anyone. John knows for his followers to be saved, they have to leave him and go and listen to Jesus. So if John the Baptist needs to get out of the way and let Jesus speak, then I think we should be doing the same thing. And can I suggest that this is a huge help to us? Because it takes all the pressure off. The salvation of our colleagues doesn't depend on us or our ability to answer questions or know all the apologetic arguments. It's not dependent on us having a sharp 3-minute testimony or making a perfect declaration of the gospel. Don't get me wrong, these are all brilliant things to be able to do. But with all of these things, our end goal must be to get people into the Bible. Because when we open up the Bible, we know it has all the answers. We know it's the greatest persuader. We know it tells the most important testimony, that of Jesus Christ. And we know that it perfectly declares the gospel. So as we read, turn the page, and just chat about what it says, well, we bring people face to face with Jesus, knowing it's all about him and it's not about us. Knowing we can lean fully on him and his words. And let's face it, If Professor Lennox needs to do this, and even John the Baptist needs to do this, well, it's likely that we do too. So I hope you can see that we can share in this ministry of just pointing our colleagues to Jesus and allowing him to speak with them. But why should we do it? What motivates us to share in John the Baptist's ministry? Well, I could see two motivations in this passage. So firstly, in verse 27, the ministry we're given is a gift from God. And then secondly, in verse 29, allowing people to hear from Jesus is what brings us joy. So firstly, John sees the ministry he's given as a gift from God. Because I think this is what John means in verse 27. He says, a person cannot receive anything unless it is given him from heaven. And then follows this up by describing his ministry. So without dwelling on this too much, I just want to ask you the question. Is this how you see the opportunities you have to point people to Jesus? Do you see your mission field, your colleagues, as a gift? God has given us the ministry that we have in our offices. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? All these years later, we have the same ministry as John the Baptist of pointing people to Jesus as a gift from God himself. And then the second motivation I saw was joy. In verse 29, we see John's joy was complete because people could hear the bridegroom's voice. And this same joy should motivate us. And it can be ours. We should rejoice whenever our colleagues hear the bridegroom's voice. So whenever I share the Bible with someone, regardless of whether I think I did a good job in sharing or I think it went terribly, well, I rejoice alone in the fact that my friend heard the bridegroom's voice, placing all my confidence in his words and not in my own performance or abilities. So as you share a passage of the Bible, well, you can rejoice knowing your friend has heard the words of God and that God's words have all the power in salvation. Meaning the most important and the most loving thing that we can do in our office, for our colleagues, and across this city, is to let the bridegroom speak, to let Jesus increase and us decrease. So the big questions I'd like to leave you with, well, are who in your office can you share the Bible with? Or if you are here looking into the claims of Jesus, who here could you ask to share the Bible with you? So please do ask whoever invited you or a member of the staff team here, or come and speak to me afterwards. We would love to help you with this.
Thanks, Carl, so much. That was really, really encouraging. So we can all do it. The power is in God's word. That's what you've told us. But we're now going to spend a few minutes, as Carl says, thinking about how this might actually look for us practically. So you've got some question slips on your table. Scribble down a question if you'd like. Stick your hand in the air with the question slip. Someone will come around and pick it up. To get the ball rolling, I'm going to fire a couple of questions at Carl to begin with. So, Carl, William mentioned these books, these resources at the beginning, and said they're a big help. Could you just tell us exactly how they work? How would we use one of these little booklets?
Yeah,
if we turn to page 6, maybe we can all have a look.
Yeah, if you'd like to open them up to page 6. Yeah, thank you, Wes. So these books, it's called The Word One-to-One. So the point is you have a copy and your friend has a copy. And what we'll do now is just look through the first 2 or 3 pages. And I hope you'll see that as I read through this, I'm not going to need anything that's outside of these books to run this conversation. So everything you need, everything your friend needs to explore John's gospel is within these pages. And the notes just help us run that conversation. So if I start, Wes, we'll pretend we're having a one-to-one. So if you look at the top of page 6, you'll see in the big writing there, it says John's overview. And underneath, John 1, verses 1 to 18. So as we turn the page, the sentences on the left-hand side that have got numbers on them, well, they're straight from the Bible. And what we're going to learn in this overview is what it says in this circle here, that God comes to earth. And then in this little yellow note, it says there's a lot in this section, so don't be surprised that it's going to need some unpacking. So in our verses today, we're getting an introduction to the Gospel of John. Our writer's going to give us lots of big claims and ideas, but he's not going to explain too much of that today. He's just going to introduce it.
Fair enough.
You happy with that? Happy to turn over?
Okay.
Brilliant. So if you see on the left-hand side, we've got the sentences with numbers 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Are you happy to read through those, or would you like me to read those?
I can read those, yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Brilliant. Thanks, Wes. So you see at the top right-hand side on page 9, it says amazing beginnings. So that's what we're looking at here. And did you see in verse 1 how often the phrase the Word is used? So John stresses twice that the Word was there in the beginning. But as we move down the page, we're left with a question. Well, what or who is the Word? So in verse 1, we see the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then in verse 2, we see at the start, it changes to a he. So we learn that the Word is a person. Mm-hmm. And in verse 3, that Word, who is God and a person, made absolutely everything. You, me, everything we can see here. But John's claims for the Word go even further. So underneath it says, what difference does the Word make for life? And in verse 4, we learn that he's the source of life, the answer for life, and gives eternal life. And we'll learn as we keep going through the gospel a lot more about what life means. But it has to make sense, doesn't it? That if just as John has claimed the Word created everything, then all life must come through the Word as well. Is that okay? Are you happy with that?
That's great, yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Brilliant. Shall we...
Very good. I'll be back next week.
Great. It's your turn to buy the coffee.
Thanks, Carl. So you've shown us this, it's fairly simple, but how do you actually ask someone to look at God's Word with you, look at the Bible with you? It sounds a bit of a strange thing to do. How do you go about asking somebody?
Yeah, good question. So
feel free to hand the questions in as...
So I tend to arrange to meet somebody for a coffee. I'll just catch up with them. I'll have a copy of the book with me and just explain that I'm a Christian and just ask them, have you ever been interested in taking a look at the Bible? We've got these great notes here that open up the Gospel of John, and I'll let them have a look at it and just say, look, all I'd like is 30 minutes of your time. We'll have a look at 18 sentences of a book called John. And at the end, I'll ask you two questions. Did you enjoy that? And would you like to do it again? And you can say, you know, have you ever been curious to take a look at what the Bible says? But it's important, isn't it, that we're not trying to force it onto anybody. So we offer that question, and then, you know, if people say yes, that's great. And if they say no, we don't want to push them.
Thanks, Carl. Someone's just picking up on that point there about we don't want to force it. Someone says, I'm worried people might perceive that this is kind of proselytizing. I'm trying to convert them. What would you say to that?
I would say that verse 3:36 is really important. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So if Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's only through him that eternal life is available and escape from wrath is available, then actually the kindest and most loving thing we can do to our colleagues is give them the chance to meet him. So I would just try to persuade you that it has to be worth it. This is something that we need to do.
Thanks, Carl. Someone's asking a question here. To what extent shall we try and explain God's word to our colleagues and to our friends? And how should we just leave space for them to try and understand it themselves? You're saying you're just opening up the Bible, you're just pointing people to it. But some of us might think, well, the Bible's quite complicated. People aren't going to understand what's going on. What's your thoughts on that?
Again, I would suggest I've found these notes really, really helpful with that, because the notes that run alongside it are very clear in how they explain what's happening. So as I've read the Bible with people, what I love about this is they can take it away with them, and they have all the verses, and they have the questions, and they have the answers. So they can go back to it and look at it in their own time. And then I will, you know, at the end of the session, I'll ask them the two questions. And if they're happy to meet again, when we meet up again the next week, I'll just say, look, was there anything from last week that you need explaining? Can we spend a few minutes chatting about that before we move into the next section?
Thanks, Carl. Could you just say a little bit about where you might do this? What kind of place would you actually do this with some of the guys who work around here?
Yeah, good question. I have done it, depends on the person, so wherever they're comfortable to meet. So I've run some one-to-ones in the office, in a meeting room. I tend to do most of them either in a, like a Pret or a Black Sheep underneath the cheese grater, but there are other coffee shops available. So yeah, anywhere like that, where you can sit down, there's a bit of background noise and you can just chat together.
And just say a little bit more. Someone's asked about who do we actually meet with. What if it's somebody of the opposite sex or somebody who's a lot more senior in the company than we are? We sense a bit of an opening with them. How would you take that forward?
Yeah, two very good questions. We do recommend that you don't read with somebody from the opposite sex, particularly if you're married. So I think it's a good thing here to rely on, you know, the brothers and sisters that we have in partnership and try and introduce them to somebody that they'll get along with and that they can open up the Bible together. I think that's quite important. And then, obviously, with relationships in the office, we do need to be respectful of kind of our boss and the relationship that we have, but we shouldn't preclude them from this offer of salvation. So I think it is important to ask.
Brilliant. Thanks, Carl. Carl and also Lafraz, who's here, and there are many others, I'll be very willing to help you if you'd like more of a kind of personal chat through about how this might work, how you might be able to do it. If you just stick your name on one of the sheets on the literature table on the way out, someone will get in touch with you and show you how you could use the notes, how you could do this. So please do that. But we'll carry on thinking this through over the next couple of weeks. Carl, you have to say a quick prayer to close our time together.
Yeah, of course. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he did die on the cross for the whole world. Lord, please, would we be those that love those around us in this city to share the amazing news of eternal life in Jesus. Lord, please give us great confidence in the power of your word. And Lord, please, would we have that conviction to ask people, hey, would you like to take a look at the Bible with me? For your glory. Amen.
Amen.